It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in Revelation chapter 3. We're studying the Laodicean church, which is at the 14th verse, and we'll begin reading at the 14th verse. We've discussed part of that verse, but we'll continue and do a little bit of review. So please go to Revelation chapter 3. Verse 14 is where we're going to start reading. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to call us by phone, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to email us, you can do that. Parkview Bible. I always want to add the church to it, but it's not. It's parkviewbible@gmail.com. And so that is several ways for you to contact us if you would like. But please visit our website. We have many messages up there. I think you'll enjoy our Constitution, Plan of Salvation. Please look at that site if you can. If that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, and I hope that it was, please turn to Revelation chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for this opportunity to proclaim your word and to study this precious book and to study especially here in Revelation in the times that we're in right now. I just ask that you'll guide and lead us, dear Lord, and just show us your way and will. Please that you just, we just need your direction. We need your strength. We need your saving power. We need your wisdom. Please, dear Lord, there's just everything that we need is from you. So please that you will guide and lead us and strengthen us. Show us your word today that we may be blessed by it. Salvation would come into our heart, that we would meet you at the cross of Calvary if we have not met you yet. Please that we have a personal relationship with you that we should have. And then, Father, it begins the walk and the service and the wonderful joy that we have with you. So please, guide and lead us, dear Lord, today as we study this precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have in each one of these churches, we have an introduction to the speaker. And the speaker here is, he says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. What a wonderful title, the faithful and true witness. We looked at the word amen last time. It's translated verily, verily. In other words, it is truth. So listen carefully. And so he that is truth has something to say. And so we best listen. And then the next title here of his name that helps us understand who He is, the faithful and true witness. The only one from Adam to this present time has been a faithful and true witness over all and has never failed in one way or another. There is only one that can hold that title, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a faithful witness. Has the church been a faithful witness? This is just a little bit of review, but I believe it's worthy of review. Has the church been a faithful witness, the local church, the one here on earth? We have so much to tell, so much to testify of His wonderful grace, of His character, of His love, of His wisdom, of His power, of His miracles. Is Christ visible in our lives? You know, visible, most can't even get up and get to church. You know, they may make it, but they're not on time. It's so important that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in Him. Is the Word, are you so cold to the Word that it doesn't stir your heart to come? Do you think that you've just been in church enough that you don't need to come when the doors are open? I am always learning, always learning. I never seen such folks that have so much trouble to get up and get going except for on Sunday morning. Do you ever realize that's the reason the devil got Saturday night for the night to go out? That way you're too tired to get up and serve the Lord on Sunday morning. Please, please that your life be visible and be a blessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do people hear and see Jesus in you? It's a wonderful question. Is this local church a light bearer for our God, for His great news? Many churches today have completely shut Him out. He's standing at the door knocking, and if you'll notice, that's the 20th verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him. Most churches today have turned Him away. Many don't want nor think they need the old-fashioned preaching from the old-fashioned book that tells of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it was shed for you. The church has been given a great opportunity, the greatest opportunity, greater than any other group on earth. I don't care what charity or what service or what organization you're a part of, the church is the greatest, the only group that has a greater calling and opportunity of service is the nation of Israel. And that is, we need to testify of God the Father, of God the Son, of Jesus Christ, of His great saving work. We need to tell folks God's the Creator, God's the Savior, and God's the Sustainer. But it seems that the visible church has failed as miserably as Israel did. And that's the reason that it was taken from Israel and given to us as an opportunity. But we too, once again, have failed. So sad. Churches at one time that were a God-fearing church, today aren't. Schools that were founded upon the Bible, colleges, universities that were founded upon Christian morals and the basis of the Word of God, today deny the very presence of the Lord Jesus. Even our government that was set upon the Bible, the Word of God, set upon its morals and beliefs, now wants all thought and appearance of God and His Word to be banished. What's happened to us? You want to know why we're in such a miserable mess and why the world is such a miserable mess and the fighting and wars everywhere, turmoil everywhere. It's because this nation, and as a whole, the leadership of this nation, is very ungodly. They have denied the Word of God. They have denied God's presence and power. They do not call upon Him. Some say they do, but their works and their testimony says otherwise. This nation's in bad shape. Nations that are fighting and in such turmoil and have such the dictators, the reason is because the bulk of them are of other cults. They do not stand for the only truth, the only God, and that is the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. It's the only one that's true. All the rest are cults. Now please, come by faith to Jesus. I don't care what religion you're a part of. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that's important. We find at the very end of this 14th verse is the introduction to this individual, to the speaker, the beginning of the creation of God. The beginning of the creation of God. You know, evolutionists believe we are evolving upward. We're improving. We're getting better. We're evolving, all right, but we're not going upward. We're going downward. And it's a fast, fast spiral. It's not global warming, it's godly cooling. We have cooled off. We have forgotten to fear God. We need to look to the truth. Enemies are joining together to destroy all Christianity and destroy the nation of Israel. And we sure see that today in this land of ours. As is said by all other seven churches, I know thy works in the 15th verse. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Would that you be cold or hot. Jesus knows the strength and the weaknesses of every local church. Jesus knows the strength and the weaknesses of every born-again believer. The Church of Philadelphia, thou hast a little strength. Jesus knew their weakness. To the Church of Laodicea, thou art neither cold nor hot. Jesus is telling us that this church is the worst of all. And as we've said, this Church of Laodicea is the church age that we are in today. John uses the terms cold and hot, not dead and alive. Cold or hot. It's the most dangerous state possible. It's the state or the place of indifference. Lost, yes, they are. They have a total indifference to Christ. And that's what we have today. Oh, when you look today at the preachers in most churches, they are indifferent. They have an indifference to Christ. They don't care. If that's what you believe, that's fine. Here's what I believe, that's fine. They're not hot or cold. You know, an enemy will stand against you, and today we are finding them more and more prevalent. They are hot. They are so mad. And so you could call them hot or cold because they're so far away from the truth. They're hellbound without question. But today, when we look at our government and look at our leaders and we see laws and rules and regulations that are coming on that take out the absence of God. We can't speak. God is absent. And when God's absent, wisdom is absent. We have no hope. We must be in prayer for this country. We must be in prayer for the leaders of this country. Because they're so far away from the power and the presence of God. And when they lack the power and presence of God, they lack all wisdom, all wisdom. This church was of the group of the undecided. They were neutral. Oh boy, doesn't that sound like today? And it is. This is the church age of the Laodicean church. Neutral. One who takes no stand one way or the other. If you speak to someone and they, you can't get them to be mad at you, because when you make a statement, they agree. When they, you know, they may totally disagree with what you believe, but they're so neutral. And we could call that term politically correct, if you would like to use a term of today. If you want to destroy this land, if you want to destroy the church of God, you make it politically correct, and we have destroyed it. And that's exactly what's going on today. Everybody is politically correct. We will not stand upon the Word of God and stand for its truths, fearing that we will upset someone or disappoint someone or say something that'll hurt someone's feelings. My dear friend, the Word of God is true, and if it stands against it, we need to stand against it. If it stands for it, we need to stand for it, even though it is contrary to the Word of God. And I guarantee you, the Word of God is not politically correct, nor was it intended to be. You want the power of God? You want this nation to be strong? Then we need to forget being politically correct and be standing and true to the Word of God. Neutral. Whether it be Christ Himself, whether it's God's Word, God's church, all stand in a neutral position. The Church of Philadelphia the indifference, and before I get to the church, back to read to talk about the Church of Philadelphia, the church of indifference, tolerance to all, is more damning than any drugs, the dope, the liquor. You can bring all the sins of the world together and match them up with the position of the church today, and that's a position of tolerance, politically correct. And that is more damning, more condemning than all of them together. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. It's not all the gross sins that damn the soul. It's the sin of indifference. To procrastinate. This is okay. You're all right. I'm all right. Yes, maybe sometime I'll receive Jesus as my Savior, but not now. It's not necessary. Now, the Church of Philadelphia was encouraged by the words, "I come quickly." The Church of Laodicea, on the other hand, was threatened by these words, because, you see, one means that the joy of the Lord will be strong when He comes, because they're looking for it, they're excited about it. But Laodicea is so far away from the will of God, as the churches are today. Judgment is nigh at hand. That's why the Church of Laodicea has to turn away the Word of God. That's the reason they desire to be politically correct. Because, you see, they hate the Word of God. They hate the truth. They hate to think that judgment's coming. Cold? Yes. You could repent and get hot. If you get hot for the Lord, God will bless you. Lukewarm. That's what it says here. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert, would, wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Lukewarm, neutral, politically correct, tolerance to all. That's a hopeless, helpless position. There's no mention of the Lord's return is found here. Only thing that's found here is judgment. And it says, I will spew you out of my mouth. In verse 16, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The church of Philadelphia will be caught up in the air. The church of Laodicea will be spewed out at the same time. These two events take place when the Lord comes in the air. Okay. There is going to be a return to the Lord Jesus. Now, most people think of that return as when he's going to come plant his feet upon Mount Sinai and the mount will split in two. That is coming, but that's 7 years after this event here. He is coming to meet us in the air. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Living believers shall be changed. The lukewarm professors will be spewed out. All this will occur at the same time, and that time will be the twinkling of an eye. Again, these two events take place at the same time. The Church of Philadelphia will be caught up in the air. I'm going to be part of the Church of Philadelphia. I know Jesus as my Savior. I trust in His Word. The Church of Laodicea is the church of today. It's going to be spewed out at the same time. You know, man declares peace. Yet peace will never be found until Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, he will personally place the devil in the pit and seal it. Then will come 1,000 years of peace. But until then, things will become worse and darker and darker and darker as the days of Noah and Lot return. But one day, one glorious day, our Lord will appear. And that bright and morning star, and we will meet him in the air. What a day. Church of Philadelphia will go up. That's the wheat. And the Church of Laodicea will go into the tribulation. Now we find the tares, the wheat and the tares. Did you notice the believers in Philadelphia, that church? They gave no words, no list of accomplishments, no boasting, no bragging. Now, look at the Church of Laodicea. On the other hand, what do they say? Again, the Church of Philadelphia, they weren't a bragging church, they were a serving church. God's the only one that bragged on them. They didn't brag on themselves. There's no room for pride such as that. But the Church of Laodicea was proud. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Proud. I'm rich. I've got everything. That was true. They were very rich, materially. And they showed it. They showed it in their attitude. They were cocky. In their lifestyle. Proud of their money. Proud of their possessions. Proud of what they accomplished. But Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Is your treasure in serving the Lord and then placing it in heaven? Or is your treasure in the bank and in material goods and and all things. Where is your treasure? Let's look at the church of Laodicea. We find beautiful buildings, magnificent bell tower, the sanctuary, the banquet hall, the gyms. The members are very social and very intelligent. They're the intellectuals. But they, as a church, and any church today that is headed for in that direction, is headed for ruin. Because they've put things ahead of Jesus. You think about it today. What's the first thing all these churches have? I mean, they're big, they're monstrous churches today. Oh, all the social activities that they have. All the wonderful discussions that go on, which really there's not many Bible studies, so you don't get into, you come and listen to a sermonette and then you leave. And today, why it's very clear that you come as you are. I mean, you can come in and it just, we've got to make you comfortable, because if we don't, you won't come. Well, if you come into this church and you're lost, or you're backslidden, I don't want you comfortable. Because if you're comfortable here with the Word of God preached, that means the power of God isn't here. Today the church works so hard to make you comfortable. The compromising Laodicean church of today fits, they've taken God in it, they fit it to your size so that you're comfortable. They don't want you to be offended in any way. Well, you better be offended if you're not a child of God. Because your God is the devil. There's only two. There's many little gods out there, but there are only two. There's one, the true God, Jehovah, and there's the devil. That's the two. All of them go underneath the second category of the little gods. Only one true God. So when you come under the preaching and the teaching of the true God, and you're following the God of this world, you're going to be miserable, and should be. Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Wealth, things at the expense of being spiritual, is a curse. Spiritual. Be spiritual. He said, we have need of nothing. Is that the reason you don't come to church, or is that the reason you don't want the Word of God preached? That's the reason you're going to that social church. Makes me sick. You know, it should. God said here is going to spew you out of my mouth. They should make us sick. And yet today, the numbers are large that attend such churches. That's the churches that are growing, which it is. That's the Laodicean church. I hope you're not a part of it. I hope you've not been duped by it. Says, have need of nothing. These folks had absolutely no place or room for the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. They come to church, but not to serve God, not to serve and praise and honor Him, but to feel good. It's a country club. It's a social organization. They did not need anything that Jesus had. They were completely satisfied. Verse 16 didn't bother them at all. Judgment. God's good. Hell doesn't exist. If it did, a loving Father wouldn't send me there or anyone else there. They ignore the facts that God is a consuming fire. God is angry with the wicked, and God judges in righteousness. you better be prepared to meet your God. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?